You had a chance to look over the minutes?
So moved.
Okay, shall those in favor?
Aye.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, would you abstain from taking setting the public hearing out of order?
Well, let's go first.
Oh, let's go first.
Public hearing first.
The budget. The preliminary budget is out there. We're having our public hearing next Wednesday for the budget. I don't expect there to be any public comment. In years past, we haven't had anybody show up other than right here because of town issues going on. The budget is going to change slightly because of the time we sent it to you in August to now. We had a bid opening for our sludge disposal. The sludge disposal rates went up, and we have to now shift it instead of going to Colony. We have to have a strong Colony didn't bid on it, and there was reasons for that. And they were able to $500,000 fine for taking too much waste, but understand now I think that's probably why they didn't bid on it. So unfortunately now we have to drive three times as far, so the sludge rates went up. But so the budget's going to change slightly, but I was able to move things around in the capital plan, equipment purchases and so forth to try to quell that that increase. So there's not going to be any rate changes for any of the towns or any of the users of the system for that matter. So for the third year in a row, we're going to still stay with $103 a ton. And the town rates that I already sent the letters out to all the towns, those are going to remain the same. So the budget's going to change. The finalized budget, assuming the board passes it on the 28th, will be slightly changed, but the rates aren't going to change. That's one of the questions for me.
I asked the question before he answered my question.
The five towns that did not sign were the City of Kingston, Marbletown, Marlboro, Saugerties, and Ulster.
You know what they're going to do?
Really. I don't. I did send those five towns letters letting them know that we promised to service them until December 31st. At any time between now and then, they can give you a call. We'll pull our equipment out. If they get a third party, or hold themselves, or whatever they want. If I don't hear from them by the middle of December, I will contact them. If I don't hear from them by the middle of December, I'll contact them and schedule a time for a final pickup for the first week of January or second week.
Okay, well, I'm just going to bring this up because the City of Kingston is now going to have a different mayor. So whoever you talk, you can talk to Shane from now until December 31st, but on January 1st, he won't be there.
Right.
So what happens after that?
The City of Kingston
you have a different card, so therefore now they may have a difference of opinion.
The City of Kingston are in a unique situation more so than anybody else in the county in that they have their own roll-off trucks and their own roll-offs. So the city can very easily service themselves. I'm not sure why they had a service in for this long because they could be with their own roll-off trucks and they do demolition jobs within the city. So they could easily very easily place some of their roll-off containers there and service themselves. So it wouldn't be that difficult for them.
Well, I'm just saying, that's fine. I'm just bringing that to your attention. That there's going to be a different person sitting in the front office. And
if that individual gives me a call, I can present that to the board. A month ago or so, I did get a phone call from one of the town board members from one of the towns that did not sign on, asking, what if we talk to the supervisor, we try to get him to do this. And have the supervisor send me a letter, and I'll present it to the board. It's up to the board if they want to have me sign on. I'd be more than happy to do that. That's not my call.
Okay.
My five calls.
That's fine.
And if the new mayor wants to do that and change the service, that's no problem. He can send this letter. We are out to bid right now for the new recycling boxes. We're ordering 35 of them. We're going to order 43. We're going to have all the 10. We're going to cut it back to 35 new boxes. That bid opening is going to be on the 21st. I can order them. It's going to take a few months for them to be manufactured, so if you order sometime in the middle of the year. So I can start turning over all these old boxes.
Okay.
Cool.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Have a good night.
Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, we only have one resolution.
Right.
You want to start? Can I get
off? I'll move it.
Second.
We did amend that one section with regard to the hypothetical of a store clerk was, you know, was selling the product and whether or not they would get you know, fined or anything like that. Council Ragucci has contacted Ronk and contacted Erica about that just to make sure that was, you know, appropriate or anything like that. So I'd like to just make this a public hearing and let the public comment on it, and we can kind of take it from there. So.
I don't know. I don't quite understand it.
It basically,
I mean, does any other county do it?
No, actually,
you have Erie, you have Suffolk, you have...
What products would it
have?
It's a thing where the toothpaste, where it's got like the sparkly stuff. Like, you ever see the stuff with, I mean, like, it's not as if somehow people will be able to go buy toothpaste. You know what I mean? It's that stuff where it's like, because you got to realize the implications are those microbeads. And I know you weren't here, but I know you also put your packet materials and you can't, you know, buy it. You know? So it's just that, considering that it's not as if it's an essential product. Right, you can get other, I mean, for Christ's sake, that are using Crest, you know, the white stuff, you know, for a million years, right, old fashioned. But that said, those microbeads going into the Hudson, they actually attract PCBs and other things, meaning like for what's really, really truly in essence a cosmetic sort of thing, right, the bloody toothpaste sparkling, you know, you're basically under threat of these things fighting their way back. You know, PCBs and heavy oils and that kind of stuff actually attract to the microbeads and then end up bioaccumulating that. Remember DDT? Remember back when we were kids? And DDT basically was like, oh, no, it's fine. It's like, no, actually what it's doing is actually working its way back up. Microbeads, ironically, are actually kind of doing that same kind of thing.
What is happening is they're being consumed by the fish, by the different species, you know, whatever, organisms that are in the waters. And...
to me, again, this sounds like it should be a state law because
there's here's what's going on, Rich. You're trying to go from the grassroots up on this. Mm-hmm. There are bills up in the state legislation right now banning it. I spoke to a gentleman today from Washington, Mike Thompson. He's with the personal care products, and obviously he's against this resolution. And I invited him to Skype in at the public hearing. I said, but bottom line is we're going to end up going forward with this. And depending on who you speak to, I mean, they can use natural things as opposed to the microbeads. They can use, I guess, different type of walnut shells and natural ingredients that do the same thing.
Baking soda.
Okay, yeah. So it does the same thing as these microbeads. But it doesn't have the same effect on the environment.
And I also read a thing about with the dental, like they're under, when dental hygienists are cleaning them, they're pulling these little beads out from underneath the gums and it's causing problems.
Yeah. And I'll send you, if you want, I'll send you an article on it with Lake Erie that is so, they're so polluted with these things that...
ironically, by the way, is the Republican legislature here in county that voted for
it. It's a problem because the Bible is affecting different species of life in the water. And once again, it gets back to us because we consume fish, we consume water.
I have no problem with it. I mean, I see that Weights and Measures is going to enforce it. That's a two-person organization. Are they going to go into the Targets and the Walmarts and this shop?
That's part of it.
They're going to be able to do that with no additional staff.
That was part of my discussion with the executive on this, and also this also mirrors what Erie County does. Erie County actually has the same department And I think Putnam, I think Nikki Hector's looked the same way. So that's probably why.
So that one's closer.
But here's the real deal. They're trying to get the different counties around the state.
It's just going to state it to you. I guess.
So the state will take over. I mean, that's really
To be effective, it's going to be everybody.
Yeah.
To be real.
Ultimately. And I think ultimately that's where it's going to go.
Right. So. And I can tell you right now, we've already got the bills up there. We're looking at them. And they'll be coming back next session. And there'll be a push for it.
Okay.
So we're just, I guess, we're ahead of the curve a little bit if we get this passed.
Okay.
So, any other questions?
Call for
all those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Passed. Okay. Anybody have any new business?
How much do you guys want before you with municipal solid waste?
I would like to hear this meeting.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear a little bit.
We're basically looking at really kind of like short-term, mid-term, longer term in terms of these solutions. And, to be quite blunt about it, this has always been a huge thing. And we know we've got till March, but we've been trying to get as much done, if not get done by December. But just to kind of give you a sense of where, we're going, part of it's going to be, trying to get enhanced things like, food waste composting and getting, getting bags to be more environmentally sensitive, and that kind of stuff. That's really kind of viewed as really being really short term. Several people, if not, I think the clear of the vast majority of the committee, but except for Tom Briggs, have actually been to, to Delaware County to go see what they're doing. And it's actually probably the most profound thing. I mean, really, I don't know if you did go. Okay, cool. I'll shuttle you up there.
I go to the Pensacola Watershed.
With what they're doing, I think there's really a strong sense. Me and Leon sort of really on the same page, things are really going good. And Leon's a friend, but we're not often on the same page 100%, we're 100% on this, where, this is the direction we should go in. But understand, there's a cost. I mean, we're just doing some back-of-the-envelope stuff, and we're trying to get that to be more firm before we actually present anything to the legislature. But, you could be talking about, $60 or $70 million to go and replicate a system like Delaware.
Yes.
Well, because that's the issue. It's not as if, I can go and take their numbers and just extrapolate percentages off of how much more waste we produce and how much more population, that we have. But, ultimately, we may also end up with, they've got one turbine, we may need two, because you think you may need one online, one offline, or basically have both at, two-thirds or half, and that way you've got the redundancy in there, so that way you don't end up in a situation of what happens if one breaks down. Now, if that happens in Delaware, well, there's still only 40,000 people in Delaware, it's still a pretty small, manageable county. They basically try to dump onto a box and ship them out. If that happens here, you've got a bigger problem.
Right.
So the longest range component is there's a portion of the committee that still, really wants to push for a landfill. And if we actually implement a Delaware-style type of operation, it's manageable to actually talk about a landfill, because you'd be talking about reducing down your waste from, right now we're shipping out 100 and, depending on which numbers I guess I use, 125, thousand tons, well, now you suddenly cut into that. Delaware County is actually, by volume, breaking down their trash, it's 70% by volume. It's 50% by weight, and 70% by volume. And if you know about landfills, it's about volume, it's not about weight. It's about how much space is actually taking up in that landfill. So if we're then able to kind of go and say 70% of 120 or 125 is now suddenly being broken down to mulch, you're only dealing with the inorganics. And those inorganics now, you don't have to take a problem on leachate, you definitely don't have a problem with methane, because there's nothing organic now at that point that you're depositing that's going to break down into a gas or basically leach out at that point. So, it is something to consider. We have spoken repeatedly to Sullivan County. They're always vaguely interested in maybe trying to do something together, but it may be a thing where we go on our own.
What are they going to do with your toxic materials?
Is that Sullivan?
Yeah.
I think right now, I think they're actually, they've actually got a private operator maintaining their landfill, but I think right now, I think they're actually shipping tons of stuff to Tennessee.
Is their landfill open still?
No.
That's down in...
I think that they're still operating. When we were there, I mean, it was like... That tape recorder's on, so I can't be as glib as I normally would be, but it was not in good shape, let's just put it that way. In terms of what was, like, all their offices, I mean, this just wasn't really a full-on operation.
Yeah, you have Apollo Plaza there, right?
Yeah, especially behind it, you kind of, if you're driving there. We did see some interesting times driving around during the course of this, committee, and, we were able to find it and kind of, like, tucked away in there. What's interesting, and they didn't say no, but they definitely didn't say yes either. They're actually, I believe, approved on that same site to actually expand out. Even though the main portion of their landfill is capped and closed down, they're actually approved kind of going up like the Wesley side. But I think they had such a history where they were taking in so much New York City trash. I think politically it's probably too tough for them to actually open up on that site. And in addition, I believe with all the casino stuff and everything like that, they're not really looking for, you know, for that operation to happen there. But, you know, we're keeping the door open. That's why that one's sort of like, I mentioned it as like the third thing. The first two steps we can do independent of the third. I just think in terms of efficiency and also really managing the full problem, you're going to need all three steps. But citing a landfill, and DEC really deserves credit. I mean, we give credit to the committee as well. They've been, you know, fairly generous with their time. They had people stop by. Charlie Landy got to go and look at GIS maps and other stuff in between. And
I know they were looking at the maps here on the 6th floor.
Yeah, no, it's been, you know, we've been kind of pursuing just, you know, sort of all those different options, and that's also partly because, you know, when we've been doing all these site visits, you know, sometimes you pick up a thing or two and say, hey, we really like what Rockland County's doing, you know what I mean, in terms of some of their recycling. You know, they have a really kind of like robust, you know, system. The problem is it's kind of divided up sort of like all over the county.
Now, is there mixed recycling? Do they separate it? I mean, is it separated? Because now we just throw everything together in it.
We're sort of separated, but I believe Rockland actually is single. Is, I think, actually single.
We're commingled.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
everything.
It just seems cleaner when it's separate.
It is.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, of course, but the problem is, of course, you know, obviously, you know, how you're moving that product, how you're selling it.
Well, we're talking about selling it. Can we actually sell anything?
Yeah.
I mean, to what extent?
Well, I mean, recycling and Tim, you know, Tim is here, he can talk to you for hours. I mean, as the price of oil, you know, goes down, meaning, you know, when you look at the pump and it's lower, on the downside, it means that recycling is going to be through the, you know, through the floor. Because this stuff will get recycled as either plastic or even down for its petroleum value.
A lot of it goes to China. A lot of cardboard goes to China.
Cardboard. Metal, although that's even slowed down with...
A lot of metal was going down over to Korea.
Jim Taylor, if you spend that time with the Jim Taylor Veterans Facility, he'll start showing you, you know, exactly these kind of, containers full of nails, you know, sort of like a funny, just, you know, thing where, well, because they're actually pulling it out, they're cheap, sending it over to China, and then we're getting it back, probably as nails.
They make new nails.
Yeah, well, that's...
And they sell them to us. Cheaper. That's what really comes down to. I don't know how that actually works out.
We won't get the environmental impacts of China's doing right now, but that's okay. So that's where we're at. Part of our charge now is also kind of trying to nail those numbers down, to actually get beyond back, you know, back of the napkin to, I don't know, up age, but it's not going to be like a complete in-depth, like, oh, you know, chapter and verse of what it's going to cost for every step, but it's going to be kind of giving you what that ballpark is, that realistic ballpark, not just the whatever. We are also, I think, going to be compiling the cost of what each of these counties or agencies have spent to create their systems. So, for example, Annette Herkimer, who's always sort of like our twin, in this process, you know, they're the ones who actually went through that full process to build their landfill, to actually set up this entire system. With another county. And, you know, and that's, you know, that was another kind of like eye-opener where, I mean, clearly, you know, nothing is perfect, but with what they've actually got set up. They really made sure that they were actually taking care of, like, providing the host benefits, you know, for these different municipalities where the trucks are actually going through in certain cases. Not even necessarily just that one town that they're in. If you're kind of a conspiracy theorist, it's sort of like, oh, it's number one, it's just in between number two. It's like the least populated town out of either county, you know?
Right.
And, you know, people make those kind of allegations. Oh, you're just picking on them because they're the small ones or whatever. But, you know, we also, at the commission, we're all making the joke that we're all going to move there afterwards because basically the host community benefit is something like, I think it's 80% or two-thirds of what the town budget is.
Right.
And then on top of that, it's also people like the rescue squad.
Right.
Like all
well, that. Tax less people yeah. when you do the smaller population.
Well,
also,
no, and that was, but it also was that was a good site. It was yes, it was sort of set apart, but it also had good soils. You know, whenever you start looking at landfills, it's just a multi-tiered sort of approach. It's not just kind of oh, that's a big parcel. You know, it's
or
like
I view it coming.
Like that.
Or they don't care if you put it there.
Yeah, or that, you know. So basically they had good clay soils actually already. You know, they were actually able to kind of go and basically buy up several parcels that were already available that were for sale. So, you know, it was sort of strategically located because it is actually a town on the border with both counties. So, you know. Anywho, that's where we're at.
Good. Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you. Anything else? I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All those in favor? Thank you all for coming.